Episode 110. 110.
110.
Oh, 110. I don't know what I was going to say. That 110. 110. I've gone blank.
Yeah, I've now gone blank. And then 110. Now but, and then.
All I can think of is Bill and Ben. Big Ben.
Bill and Ben.
Heroes.
You are listeners. Bill, and I am Ben. I'm episode 110. Flubber.
I can only apologise for a complete and utter. My mind went blank now. My mind
shit
went blank.
Intro song.
It is, I'm sorry, but listen, we're going to pick up this episode. It's episode 110. Welcome, heroes, council scumbags. I hope you're well. Hope you're safe. And as we're recording this early because, you know, Miles in the groove. Get into the groove. So as you listen to this, Scotland will be in the new restrictions because they're happening on Saturday.
Happening Saturday, didn't they? Let me shed some light on that.
Carry on. Was that the reveal? Let me shed some light on that and then you turn
are
your
you
glasses.
Sure?
Makeup mirror on.
Are you sure?
You're going to need to take your glasses off because all I can see is the light ring in your glasses.
What are you talking about? I never even factored that in. That's fucking.
Do you know what? This is again. So to let you see behind the fourth wall, to give you an insight, Mal and I had a brief conversation last night on Zoom, just so Mal could show me his new wee light, and keeping with classic Malocca Lee style, he's gone on to Amazon. He's gone on to Amazon. And he's found a light that he needs to help brighten up his broadcast. And then what he's done is narrow it down to the cheapest possible option. he's bought that one. And now he's got a light that looks like it's a dermatologist. Mate, you're going to need to take your glasses off.
Anything I can't see. It's a conundrum. What do? Do you take your glasses off and don't see? Or do you keep your glasses on and look like this?
That's what my missus says every night. Are you? You're in the alcove, aren't you?
There you go. We cool blue light.
No.
106.
No, because now it looks like you've just got a pair of, I don't know. Aye. Turn the light round and bounce it off the alcove so the light's coming back on you.
Like it. Right. So
maybe like don't that. Turn the maybe don't turn the camera. So turn the camera. Oh, Jesus Christ. Turn the light completely 180 and then turn the webcam 180 again with inside it. This is all stuff that should be done before.
I thought we did it with a wee pre-production meeting.
Aye, but you've got to, like I said to you, when there's daylight, this is ridiculous. Right,
well,
man.
You know what? See, for this episode, you're going to get Superman. Clark Kent was doing that episode. New Superman's doing the episode.
But again, why?
I'm just fucking
now I feel as if I'm a voyeur. I feel like I'm a peeping Tom hiding behind your laptop. Jesus Christ.
I look like a fucking David Bowie video. Blue jeans.
I've got a job.
No, I need the glass on for that one.
This is some kind of like Apache Searchlight. I apologise for those of you who are listening to this episode rather than watching it. It's so far it's very visual heavy. Anyway, that'll need you. That's the setup we've got for this one.
I've just tuned in. Is this strength fresher aerobics? I need to lose a few pounds after January, you know? What's the kind of ages of the folk in this podcast?
Was that not a video that we saw on the WhatsApp group with two old guys having a wank in there?
Aye.
And a kid still working.
Fucking hell, man. It was like, I think it was... It was like fucking Clyde Bank Leisure Centre or something like that. And two old guys are getting their fucking place up.
The thing is, but all I remember is, because I did watch it twice, right? I never realised there was two of them in it. Because the one that was pure frantic, man. Like he was trying to pull his cock off. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? And the guy who's the guy who's like the coach going, lads, we can see you guys. We can see. We know you're going to get banned. We're taking down your numbers. I don't give a fuck, mate.
There's the woman, the woman who was doing actual classes going, have you seen that? That's picking up. So, you know, guys, just...
Not enough to stop. Not enough to make you stop. Some woman going, listen, I've been given this class to help my mental health because I'm on the social. If you think I'm not doing this, get anything coming. My man's in the corner having a wanking, eh?
But that's just the fucking genius, isn't it? It's like they two old guys probably think they'll never catch us. No, they think they're secret agents on the fucking internet, didn't they? They're like, I just switched the camera off. Aye, that's right, Rob, I switched off, isn't it?
Do you know how much they must be there on the phone going, like, right, are you sure they can't see us? Mate, they can't see, how can they see you? You can watch, they can't see you, mate, but I can see myself on the telly. No, mate, you're not, honestly, only you can see that.
If the two old guys that are wanking were mates, can you see me, Bobby? No, I can see you. I'm the one. Well, maybe it's just two pairs that can see each other.
That's some technique you've got. I go over, mate, over, under. Stretch the boys down and then grip over the shaft.
If you look closely, I'm actually sitting in the heel of my foot. I put it right up my sphincter. It just gets me that extra wee bit, you know.
I like the sensation of my heel just pressing against my arsehole, mate. It just gets me going harder, you know. That must be brutal. If, like, I often think, see if you're a richt kinky bastard, like you've got, like the only thing that can get you off is like hooking the nipples up to a car battery, like filling your bum full of jelly, like some kind of really stuff.
Well, listen, that's not particularly kinky to some people, you know. People take it to the extremes, you know.
Stuff is really out there, man. It must. How easy must it be if what is it that really turns you on? Just watching middle-aged women doing shite workout videos. Oh, there's a plethora of that on the internet.
Well, this is the lockdowns for you, big man. Isn't it?
They two old guys, man.
It'd be great, like, you know, like, if, you know, I'm just sick of all the porn and all that. It'd be great if you had some hang where, see all the folk, like, I go to my swimming pool and it's on and that, but see if I could just look at maybe 20 of them aerobicizing. Well, that'd be right up my street.
Aerobicizing?
Right up my street. What about a Zoom call, Bobby? Just fucking rip me right off it. What's with a Zoom call? Well, what you do, it's absolutely free. Just log into your actual fucking leisure centre that you go to for fuck all and pretend you've got to one of the clubs. You what?
That's it, tabs off. Sipping my tap off my house.
I don't even need a membership. Don't even need to leave the house, Bobby. Fucking, what do I need?
What do I need?
Laptop, PC, what are they? 400, fucking geez it. Internet, I've got that in the house already, man. Virgin.
Anyway. You need a strong dial-up and a box of Kleenex, man size.
Get my fucking eyes, man. Blue jeans.
Yeah, did you see the news about... Joe Wicks apparently farted on one of his workout videos.
No, I've never watched one Joe Wicks thing, but good on him keeping all the housewives fucking moist, but no for me.
Mate, he's a fucking rocket. This is a problem that I'm finding with all this. Like, see, try to get here. Oh, mate, how? Lost half a stone.
Beautiful. Half you did the Joe Wicks in the morning or what? Look at that, Jake, it's falling off you. What is that you're wearing? Is that a house coat?
No, it's a fucking hoodie.
It's just the way it's crumpled up, flung on you there. Right, now he's back. The Gibster. It looks like a bathrobe.
It does actually look like a bathrobe.
You're just fucking out the gym, not that.
I tell you what, I've been training since Christmas. I've not fucked my wife since January. And I tell you right now, when I get that bastard in the ring, I'm going to show him what the potato famine done to my people. I'll fucking take it down to Chinatown.
I tell you what, I've been fish filming for season 4 of Mr. Mercedes. We've got the midges, we've got the nice, we've got the explosions. I'm fucking ready to go.
I tell you, my dad's been keeping me in the garage for 14 months. I've got the rubber band and the enemy cock, and I'm going to fucking kill the bastard.
Hey, we should maybe before we go, we should recap on episode 109 and how full of fucking laughs that was. Just for all the council guys who are going, I'm not why I fucking sign up. I don't need to sign up. Well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. I seen you who'd posted it and I skimmed through it this morning while I was having a wee bit to eat. So we've got on Mr.
A wee bit to eat,
eh?
Some breakfast.
Oh, another thing to say, I started Narcos, 4 deep in that already.
Oh, right,
thank
we're
you very
about
much,
it.
Mr. Gibson. Thank you very much. So, episode 109, what you Council fucks have missed with that, right? No, but it's gold. So there's Mr. Mercedes. We discussed Mr. that. Mercedes.
We did that.
Looking to get season four. With some nice midgets.
If I could be fucking her within 5 pages of the script, I'd be fantastic.
Right, Mr. Mercedes, what we're thinking this season is that the triads have moved into Dublin.
Fucking love it, mate. I never fucked a Chinese last. That's fantastic.
No, nobody's scared of the fucking triads. I'll tell you what I'm scared of. Triad midgets. They'll be fucking... trying to get away from the pastors. Right, so there's Mr. Mercedes. Great chat on that. Greta Thunberg. How dare you? We fucking went to town with her.
Good.
The fucking babysitting dodgy aunties.
So do you know what? It's one of those episodes, see, because it went on for, it was a good, there's a good length to it, right? It was a good length to that one. It's like anything else, because we're in it, mate, we're live, we're living it. I forget a lot of the time what we spoke about in the tours, and somebody commented in Patreon saying, or on Facebook, something about like, you're over loving auntie, or something about your aunties, and then it just clicked on me. Oh, I remember that bit now.
It was the Mr. Mercedes thing that I was watching this morning. I had the one where I was making a wee coffee for the wife, you know, and I was fucking pissed when he gets in for the script meeting. You're like, oh,
I got a great idea for you.
Previously on Mr. Mercedes. That's how it starts every fucking episode.
Just a big white ginger ass. Previously, it's just big ass
fucking bales on it, just pumping away at a midget's two legs sticking out each side of his asshole. Previously on Mr. Mercedes. That's how he starts the show. Already you're away.
Just four people in a lineup in the police station, tell them to take off their clothes. It's not, well, we don't need to get, tell them to take off their clothes.
That's Mr. Mercedes. Tell them to take off their clothes. I'll go and slash them. But the Mr. Mercedes thing, watch that. What two things I wanted to say to you about is my fucking light.
Honestly, no. See your camera. See this setup you've got, mate. It looks like a 90s boy band video. It's like a fisheye lens. It's like you're fucking singing to the camera. Backstreet,
another day.
Right, carry on. What was about? No, stop, leave that on so we can see your high blood pressure.
I like the cool blue.
Think cool blue is the royal blue.
There it is, right.
It's the blue sea.
Oh, the blue bells are blue.
Carry on, Seamus.
I've watched two things, and again from episode 109, I took your advice, sat down the other night there, started watching... Narcos.
Right.
There's quite a few fucking Narcos, but I found the original one with the boy out of Mandalorian in it. So we'll go back to that because you know that and you can fucking go on that. What I recently completed, my mate Ian said, check this out, The Serpent on BBC iPlayer.
Oh, mate.
Hold on,
are you saying Servant or Serpent?
Serpent.
All right, no. Because we've just watched Servant.
On
Apple TV, and the second series has came out today, and mate, we're going to sit and binge the whole second series. It is fucking brilliant.
What is it about?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Aye.
Right. So I thought it was him had done it, and I thought this would be good, but he's just the producer, so they've just put his name on it to make everybody
get people watching it.
But the one thing I'll say about it that is bad, it's got the ginger guy for Harry Potter in it, who is, I think all the Harry Potter people are terrible actors.
Aye, and they're forever cursed with the Harry Potter. Like, even Harry Potter himself, he's trying to break away, but you know it's Harry Potter doing whatever.
Aye, but also, I think he's terrible. I think they're all shit actors, but again, it's like pop culture. They are famous because Harry Potter was so famous, right? So people,
the good rapper, Harry Potter.
Good for him. People watching and go, there's the wee ginger guy for Harry Potter. Oh, yes, go. So he's American in it. He's got a terrible American accent, but the story's great. Long story short, husband and wife in Philadelphia. She is a news reporter. He's a chef. They have a baby. Baby dies. So the program starts and the wife has a doll. And it's like a therapy doll. So to try and get her over the trauma of losing her child, they've given her this, like, no,
already it's getting creepy.
The lifelike dolls, right? They look like And so now she then hires a nanny because she thinks that the kid needs a nanny because she thinks
the doll
she thinks the doll's real. So the nanny comes in, she goes to work, and then it suddenly changes, and the husband's like, look, just play along with this.
Hey, you've been paid for a month. For the nanny. Exactly. Just fucking Netflix on fucking way in the corner.
You've been paid for a month, just play along with it. The therapist told her to do this, you know, she's going to be all right and blah, blah. But listen, when she leaves the house, you don't need to pretend with me, just fucking stop. Because there's a scene right at the start where you don't, it just looks like a wee odd, creepy look. Because you know how some people have ugly kids, right? And you can't see it. You go, oh my God, that baby's beautiful. And then later on, you're like, the fucking state of house, Wayne. It looks like just a kind of an odd looking baby.
And like right a bag start, of sugar with a for carrot for a nose.
It looks like he's been left in the microwave a tad too long and he's a wee bit kind of a wee bit melted, right? And you see the dad go into the cot. Now, you don't know it's a doll at this point. So I remember...
Right, thanks for spoiling it.
No, well, because see if you watch it, we never watched the trailer, we just jumped straight in, right? So I say to the missus, like, see if it happens to this kid, this is going to happen. I can't cope with people fucking murdering Wayne's now, right?
Yeah, there's one thing you won't watch, Scott Gibson, it's child abuse.
Oh, do you know what? See, my missus loves murder. See, like real murder, mate. She
better watch yourself. Better watch yourself.
Unless she's going to get an army at short notice. She's not. See, that's your problem. You've got a fiery Italian that grew up killing livestock. You're dead, mate. You one step wrong, you're gone.
She knows how to handle a knife.
So the program, you see him pick the baby up by the ankle, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then he knocks it off the side of the cot as he's carrying it, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then you realise it's a doll, and you're like, oh, thank God.
No, oh, thank God.
What happens is...
The Wayne comes alive.
The doll comes alive, and it's a real baby.
It just turns out a real baby one morning.
No, no, because as it goes on, as the eight episodes go on, you find out the nanny is for some... religious cult.
Oh, fuck me, she's man. She's channeling some... Oh, right,
mate,
right.
No, but here's the thing, mate. It is fucking brilliant. She builds these wooden crosses that are like Pentagon things designed to protect people and puts it above the cross, right? So the dad takes it down. He's like, yeah, that's a fuck. And it's made of wood, so he breaks it up. Next day, he starts getting splinters in his hands, and then he's having this coughing fit, and he pulls a splinter out of his throat. And basically, she does these things where she takes away the things that mean the most to you. So because he's a chef, she takes away his taste, so he can't taste things. It's brilliant, but it's a little bit... It's a little
it sounds
bit
a bit like Tales of the Unexpected, the old kind of fucking 70s drama show.
Do you know what it is? The first series is an addition, if you want... Right? Because see the second series, mate, the shit that looks like it's going to happen in the second series is unreal. So it's obviously had like 10 times the budget. So it does feel as if the first series is a really long trailer to say to Apple, please give us 100 million so we can make a second series. But yeah. It's got enough in it to really grip you because it's M. Night Shyamalan as well. There's some bits where you're just like, something please happen, please. And it's pure builds tension. It's great, man. It's great. It's fucking great.
Can I get out of my hooky box? I don't have Apple TV.
It's called The Servant.
Can I just dissect what you've got? You've got a wee hooky box, haven't you? Yes, we can't see. We've got right. Okay. Because I've got and to say,
do you know what,
there's
mate,
no way you can pay for Apple TV, Netflix, Sky, fucking all the football. But there's tons of data, man. My fucking phone bill or whatever it is, internet bills through the roof. They fucking just get everything.
I've got
Andy,
Netflix.
Andy pays for a hooky box.
I've had Netflix since day one.
Since Cunt's invented it, since Mr. Flix done it.
I've got Amazon because Amazon Prime, so you'll have Amazon
as well.
I've
got Amazon and all.
We get Disney Plus because of Yaz.
Because
of Yaz's work. And then Apple TV's on a freebie because I got an iPhone a year ago.
Is that right? And you get a year's free...
A year's free subscription to Apple Television.
Oh, I got a fucking iPhone.
And then I got the old plug-in stick a few months back, and I'd had these things before. In fact, I think maybe you had suggested somebody years ago, and I got one, and it was never as good as what people may do. And then I got this one off a guy a couple of months ago, and it's fucking brilliant.
Well, the problem with these rookie sticks is exactly what you say. They start off great, and then before you know it, you just settle for shite intermittently. You know what? You might get something on it. You might right. know. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. But, you know, I'll give the servant a go. But, Scott, if I could ask you in return for putting me onto the contraband sniffers.
Mate, are you enjoying it?
We're talking about greater fucking Tinkenburg and you've got the wee water bottle. What's in that? Hey. That's tea.
Heroin.
Beautiful.
It's the blood of fucking vegans, mate.
Lesbian vegans. That looks like Ribena.
It's Ribena.
Aye, that should be right healthy. Full of sugar.
Hey, no, wait a minute.
It's sugar-free Ribena.
No sugar.
Bullshit. Should be water, son. And you should be smoking roll-ups. Rolled in fanny pads.
I've even been putting a wee... Speaking slightly of narcos. So, because obviously times are hard and we're no gigging, I'm putting away a tiny wee... Do you know what? It's actually feeling good. I've been putting away a little bit of money every month, right?
And do we coffee, Joe?
So I can get another run of my fucking Cubans, mate. Oh, can't wait.
Unreal.
So narcos, talk to me.
I don't want to talk to you about narcos now. I want to talk to you about the serpent.
Right, go on. What is the serpent?
So it's a show that's on BBC fucking iPlayer, right?
Let me Google this.
Set in the 70s, by the way. And it is pure 70s dripping out it. It's like fucking watching the 70s TV. It's short.
I think it's on, I think this is on Netflix as well.
I don't think it. Well, it might have been, but it's BBC iPlayer I've watched it on. You know, I hope everyone out there is paying for their BBC license, you know.
Fuck the BBC. The Serpent, the twisting real-life story of Charles Sobhaj, a murderer, thief, and seductive master of disguise who was a hidden darkness in the mid-70s of Asia's hippie trail.
Mate, it's freaky as fuck, by the way. So basically right what it is, right, he's just a right creepy guy, right, getting folk to punch him in the stomach and all that, and he's having like swinging parties and everything. And then what he does, he gets tourists, he fucking drugs them, they're out of the game, and then he steals their money, right? Obviously, he's no right in the skull. So it just gets, he ends up just killing them and burning them and everything. And then it's about this Dutch guy who works for the Dutch embassy is going to get this guy killed to Dutch, yeah? And he's called Cloggy.
His name is Cloggy. A Dutch guy called Cloggy?
Aye, that's his nickname, because all the boys in the embassy, they're all fucking smoking, taking coconut, hanging, partying together, and hundreds of prostitutes. And then he's like, I'm going to kill this guy. He killed the two Dutch. Who is the guy? And it's basically his obsession with catching this serial killer and how this guy, so once he murders people, because it's the 70s and fucking passports look as if they're just fucking made out of a couple of bits of paper with a photograph stuck on it. He just puts his picture on it and him and his bird fly over the world on the folk that he's killed passports, so it looks as if they've left the country. So right, they're no longer missing. Oh, I just fucking checked out of Bangkok. Anyway, carnage, and then it's just the madness and the mind control of that guy's, but pure sleaze, man. You know, like you just want to wash yourself after it. It's just sleazy, man.
It sounds as though it's your perfect show. Let me ask you,
if there was midgets in it,
is there shagger in it?
Yeah. Oh, of course, there's a good wee bit. You know, that kind of BBC tastefully done shagging.
Is that explosions?
No, but sadly, no.
Oh, so it's only got one of your three required
shagging and Moira.
And what?
Moira.
It's Moira. Moira.
But shagging and killing.
See, when you watch like programs that are set like the 60s and 70s, or even earlier, right? Like 1900s up to the 50s. Whenever we watch like serial killer documentaries about all the killing sprees in America that happened, I'm going, it must have been very easy to be a serial killer in the 50s and 60s.
Correct. That's what's made very much apparent in this BBC One dramatisation. Because, right, there's no internet.
No.
There's no phones. So let's see even them try to get a sting. You see how fucking frustrating it is. So the Dutch guy's phoning the police, who's then phoning the station to say, right, the sting, they're there now, right? Then the person's sneaking them out. The person's taking the moose like,
hello,
he's left. She's French. She's like, he's left. He's not in the building. He phones the fucking Dutch
French
guy.
Is Jamaican?
No, he's not in the building, man. Right? And then
he left the building.
The French Rasta phones the fucking Dutch guy. Then the Dutch guy phones the fucking Bangkok police. He's like, hey, stop. Whatever you're doing, just stop. He's not there. Please, goddammit, stop. And then it goes to the guy. Oh, he's not in the building. Okay. So he phones the fucking cops. He's like, bang chai, bang lai, bang da. And he's driving down the road to do the bus. And then you're going, How mad is it? And then even like in the customs, where they're just fucking looking at a dodgy passport. Okay, enjoy your stay. Stamp. Out you know. Go.
We were watching one. I started watching one about the Yorkshire Ripper. And I wasn't really getting into it, right? I'm like,
I was grim, man. The one on Netflix.
I watched the first episode and I was like, this, I don't need this first episode. I need to get into this. It's giving me too much fluff. I want to know what's going on. What was the other one we watched? We watched two ones on Netflix about two big American serial killers. The BTK guy. Bind, torture, kill. When he binds them up and anyway. So we watched that. And the thing that always gets me is when it interviews like the old retired police and the guy like, this is the case that stuck with me my whole life. And you know, could we have done more? And as I'm watching these documentaries, even now I'm going, see, unless somebody grasses to the police, they're never going to catch you. Like, see, unless the police.
That's not true.
Unless somebody goes to the police with information or they get information out of somebody, they'll never get you.
That's not true. Because there's things like forensic.
Mate, I'm talking about the 50s and 60s.
Oh, right. I thought you were talking about it. I know. Bro, unless you're fucking cool like that with a fucking knife in your hand.
That's what I'm saying. When I'm watching this one about the BTK guy.
You like that's what's going on. You get caught dead easy now.
Mate, we're watching this one about the guy that strangled all these women and he done it in like one street. He killed like four women in one street walking between the gardens. And I'm going, how has nobody caught this man? And when they're interviewing the police who's just died recently, they're interviewing him like 2010 or something and he's going, you know, this is the evidence we had. I'm going, that's not even evidence. And I'm like, back then, if somebody didn't come forward and go, hey, listen, I've just been having a pint with this guy and he says he fucking strangled eight birds, they were never going to get you.
That's and the interrogation was door-to-door go like that. Excuse me, sir, there's been a few murders this street. Was it you? No, mate, no. Aye. All the best, take care. Well, definitely wasn't him, Jack. He's got a solid gun attitude. His alibi is safe.
The documentary was Patton Oswalt's an American comedian. His wife, his first wife who passed away, used to write novels about serial killers and she apparently found or discovered who the actual killer was. Like I think it was the BTK killer, right? I can't really remember, but whatever one it was, she actually found out who it was through all the evidence. And when I'm watching the documentary after, I'm going, she doesn't have anything new. She has the exact same evidence that the police had,
but she's maybe just pieced it all together. Because let's face it,
I did feel
maybe
like
they don't have the
went,
manpower or the time to go off.
Bullshit!
Hey, you guys, we'll never catch that guy. Man, before you know it, my cat's been fucking running. Right, let's deal with that guy, man. This guy's a fucking.
I don't buy that. I never buy that. I think that's an easy excuse for the police. Going, listen, see, whenever the police get something wrong or they fuck up, they just go and go, we've just not got the time to do this. We haven't filled in forms. Shut the fuck up. You try saying that excuse in any other job. You try going into your normal job in an office, in a call centre, on a building site. Gaffer comes in going, how's that wall built? I've not got the time, boss. Well, you're fired, cunto. Two Polish builders are in. You're done.
It's finished before they even fucking get hired.
Before the gaffer's even put his hat on, was finished.
Right, that's tea break. What do you mean you're finished? What the fuck do you mean you're finished? You try to get me the fucking sack. Slow down, boys.
Aye. Tea break. We break when job is done.
Bits of fag in his chest. Back to Bill.
Stefan does not sleep until job is done.
Be a fucking pitting bricks up in his sleep. May fuck's given, man.
Putting bricks on his pecs and just fucking flinging them up the wall.
How come you don't, I mean, not that I ever saw it, right, but you don't see any, like, workies on building sites now? Lifting bricks? Oh, mate, listen, I was talking to two boys, hashtag heroes, Kenny Bridges and Stephen Harry Wilson, both of whom are on building sites now, which is a fucking joke, man. Everybody else, shops getting shut down, COVID, can't do this, can't do that, but they'll let 100 workers in a building site. And again, what a lot of people don't know, and a point that was raised, people think that builders and workies are just daft bams and boys and they don't really matter. These guys, most builders, if not all tradesmen, are in some form of self-employment. If they don't work, they don't get paid. You know, that's probably the only money that's getting the house to do. So they're having to make a difficult decision to actually go in a building site and potentially put themselves at risk of getting this.
So Stephen Harry Wilson was a fireman.
I don't know what he is, mate. He's a grafter.
A fireman's half a job anyway. They just go to a fucking fire hut and sleep.
A fire station
and sleep a train, and then hopefully it never happens. They train for a tragedy. We all hope they never happens, a house fire or a building fire or whatever. So thankfully they don't happen a lot. So firemen are
I know a guy. He was a fireman. He tried about 3 or 4 times to get into the fire service and he failed the exams because I think the technical term is he is thick as shit. And then when I found out that he actually became a fireman, I was genuinely terrified. Thankfully, he moved to a very small town in the arsehole of nowhere. For one,
So if that burns down, that's all right.
Well, no, because see if I found out like somebody who I knew was a complete idiot and he was a fireman in my town, I'd be genuinely worried in case there was a fire. Because I'd be like, are you telling me if there's a fire in my house, this is the arsehole they're sending? And let me tell you a wee story about him.
But listen, these guys train muscle memory and all that fucking... Aye. They can put fires out in their sleep, Scott.
Of course they can. But you're telling me that there aren't some idiot firemen out there? Because let me tell you this story.
You just goes up and doing the pole all day?
Not the pole. They didn't even have a pole in this station. Right.
He's one upset idiot farmer, isn't
they're
he?
Sitting in a fucking rural Scottish seaside town. Nothing happens. Fuck all happens.
So
he says, do you mind if I go and wash my car? And the head fireman says to him, if you want, but don't use the big hose. And he's like, what? So he goes down and this cunt takes the hose for one of the fire trucks and he uses it to wash his car. Turns it on, puts out two of the side windies and knocks a massive dent in the side of his door.
Yes.
And this is the guy who's responsible for going through house fires.
That's
and then they all come down the lap. Mate, what do you think? What's going to happen with the pressure on that hose? Just smashed his fucking windies.
Having a joke, obviously, and he just went, oh, that's the whole thing. I didn't mind it.
With my motor spotless.
So these fire trucks, how do I get a soap in it? You fucking moron.
Me ma.
I actually he just spends his break big me ma. Right, Alan, it's time for your tea, son. Fucking whore. Anyway, right, let's talk about Narcos.
Right.
Minute that. I'll be honest with you, it's that. Too many subtitles for me. I'm used to the subtitles, but it was just the part that was too fast. The fucking Mexican, what is it they're talking down there? Mexican?
Spanish,
of course it is. So they were fucking, hey,
Munchachos, Nachos, Burrito,
Cocaina,
Mochas, Burritos,
Nachos, Burritos, Cocaina,
Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola, Pablo Cocaina.
What's interesting, I know, is Pablo. They pronounce the B, whereas in Italy, they don't, it's Paolo, you know? And that took a bit of getting used to, you know?
Fuck Italy. This is one of... See, when you get into it, honestly, it's one of the best series. The way I measure it is, would you rewatch it? I've rewatched all of Narcos 3 times now.
Fuck's sake.
The only one that I've watched more is Sopranos. Mate, honestly, right now you might not think is, see when you get into it, see when you're like halfway through the second series when Pablo's fucking up in the hills and they've got the... You've got so much to come. It's unbelievable.
I'm full deep already and that was just in one sitting, right?
But and there's also...
I see the main American cop, that's why, the guy who does the monologue, right?
Yeah.
It reminds me of, have you ever seen fucking This Is Britain? This is Britain, 1990. It's the Channel 4 thing about all the kids growing up in the estate and they go through like the 70s punk, 80s and then they get
this is England,
house.
Is it not called?
This is England. He reminds me of the guy, do you have any hashish? He's like, what I'm going to do, just give him a night bar, I'm going to let smell the hashish, shag the pants off her. You seen that? No. It is the best fuck. But anyway, the guy, the main protagonist in Narcos reminds me of the bully from This Is England, okay. Who he buys a fucking bit of fucking soft black after the drug dealer, bit of hash, right?
Right.
And he's that daft, he thinks the birds just need to sniff it and then he'll get shagging them. So it cuts to a scene later on and he's pumping a bird down a pool table with her smelling.
Look at you pure loving it. Look at you pure pissing yourself.
No, because it reminds me so much.
It reminds me of my days back in the studios when we used to trap birds in between roller shutters. You're an animal, luckily.
He's like a bully when they're younger. He runs down and goes, right, you's all better, get out of here, or there's going to be trouble. And
was he
like,
in the Peaky Blinders?
He goes, right. I'm gonna count to 13. And they're like, 13? What? He's like, 1, two. And the wee boy just runs up, fucking sticks a nut in him. But if you've not seen it, this is England. Unbelievable. Unbelievable storytelling.
Not as good as Narcos.
It is.
It's no. Well, I'm telling you, it's no.
It's real to me. But anyway, Narcos, great. Hot Chiquita's in it. And I was a wee bit disturbed with that hooker. Ends up that right nasty boy. How's his wife? She asked too many questions, and of course she knows that she's doing more of the fucking soldiers getting rattled.
That's it. You just don't ask questions.
Shows you how horrible. I know.
Do as you're told. Do as you're told.
And the Pablo guy and his pal, when they must get into coke. I'm quite surprised because now they're just smoking dope. And I'm going, right, they're selling billions of coke the new. When does Pablo, he must get his nose in about it, Scarface style, no?
No Scarface style, but I mean, Angle likes a wee fucking bump in the morning with his coffee, you know, wee morning bump.
And he's reporter bird that he shags with a gun.
And do you know what? See, honestly, see when I first told you to watch Narcos, I went, I bet you that's the one bit that he fucking talks about. Shagging the woman with a gun.
Maybe we'll and, just you know what?
You're so much in my head now that see when I watch TV shows, see if there's anything like that, I'm just going, no. I would love this. I would fucking love this.
That's how you told me to watch Narcos. Maybe it's like a top three, all right? A bird gets pumped with a gun. Why would that?
Aye, because
there's killing cunts left, right, there. There's a few explosions.
Hannah's a shagging. Hannah's explosions. It's a good storyline. Miles going to absolutely love it.
So, we survey chat. Aye, yes. And the wee light goes ding. Text him, tell him to watch it.
Yeah, see, when you get into it, mate, you, honestly, there's all I'll say is this, there's so many twists and turns. There's so many times when you think Pablo's, he's done, he's finished, and then he fucking comes back, man. You're like, I was so generally gutted when it ended. I was fucking gutted. I even remember saying to Yaz, I was like, I just wanted him to get away. And she's like, but you know he Disney got away. I went, I know he Disney, but I just wanted him to get away. It's fucking brilliant.
So all the spin-offs, is that just like different? It kind of ruins it? They're just milking the story?
No, the spin-offs are because it was just so successful. Because obviously, I mean, I'm not spoiling it by saying Pablo dies, because he dies in real life. Do you mean? And it's the story of his life. It's not a fiction. So obviously, once he's dead, the other people still live.
Splinter off. So it's you know, that was good, wasn't it?
Aye, but the only thing is the spin-off from Narcos, like, or the next series, it's a guy who becomes prominent in the show, but he's not a real life guy. Right. El Chapo's probably the only thing that's like real. He's still alive after.
And obviously the spin-off, Mexican Midgets and Coke, that's...
Mexican Midgets go wild in Cancun.
Oh, caramba!
If I ever come into some kind of money, I am going to, for your birthday, I'm going to get like 6 or 7 midget Mexican wrestlers just to attack you.
But you know what? As much as I think, you know, they're amusing little people, yeah? We can all agree on that. They're, you know, it was a fun. If somebody done one of the pranks where like, I was getting a stag or something and they handcuffed me to a midget, things like that break my heart. I just think, you know, I don't like to see midgets getting exploited and things that like way. That.
You like to see them on the big screen.
I like to see them famous, getting the famous. I don't like it when, you know, the bullies go like, hey, kick yourself in the head and I let you go. I think that's horrible. You know, that's him getting exploited. I'm not up for that. It's terrible. And my heart actually bleeds for the small people when folk do that. Unless I seen one, it was a small pedo nonce, a midget nonce. You seen that video?
No. Where do you find this stuff? The dark web?
No, listen,
are you deep in the darkness? Look at you laughing already.
I love it. The internet for that guy.
I love how you sit and go, do you know what I saw? It was terrible. Now you laugh. I found a wee midget nonce.
Do you know the pedo hunters have got the clipboard and there's one going like that? Why did you do it? Why did you do it? And the guy's like, hey, we're not hurting you. We'll let you go when the police arrive, right? Well, this guy's like, getting this wee pedo guy.
Kicked his cell in the head and ran off.
He went like that. He goes, is it true you guys can kick yourself in the head?
Shut up.
And the pedo's like, aye. And he goes, date and I'll let you go. So no. He does it. He goes, no, date again. Does it 5 times. And then he goes, I'm not letting you go until the police come.
You know what, like, no, obviously...
He announced, so he fucking had that coming. I am not... For him.
Listen, we have said before, you know, we hate no one, no colour, no creed, no sexuality, no religion, but we hate pedos.
Yeah.
Unless they're fully paid annual members of the band. But
For, are you telling me of all these pedos that they've caught that there's no one that was just turned around and went fucking stab, stab, stab and just done them in?
That would be interesting, at least to see a scrap.
I'm watching one the other day, right? No, a pedo thing, and it was like, I hate it. I don't watch it. Just, again, I was watching Frasier. I enjoy Frasier in the morning, you know?
I used to love Frasier.
I feel as if it makes me feel a more intelligent person. Frasier, and then after it, one of these programs, like the English, if you can't pay, we'll take it away. And it was two ex-bouncers in this woman's house skiing it. Right, love, you've not paid your fucking catalogue. We're taking away your 60-inch TV. She's like, don't touch my telly, fuck's sake.
It's all these, good.
These two big, burly fucking retards standing, shouting and bawling at this woman, trying to figure out how to get her telly off, right off the wall so they can take it away. Next minute, the husband comes through the back door because she's texted the husband and he's come in for his work. And the husband is as equally as big and equally as burly as these two, and they go,
tell
oh,
boss, fuck him.
He comes in and he fucking ploughs the two of them, and yes, it's brilliant. Knocks one on the floor, grabs a vase, smashes a vase over one. Next minute, the camera cuts out, and then you see him getting taken away by the police. And I'm going, finally, right? Finally, somebody has done what most people would do if some guy came through your front door going, I'm here to get your telly. You'd kick fuck at him. I just, where are these videos where they grapple with somebody, or where are the videos where they trap one of these guys? Or women, because women can be pedos as well, as we discussed in episode 109, where your auntie is a bit abusive. Where's the videos where they find the pedo and they just kick fuck out the pedo, or the pedo kicks fuck out them?
Well, that's how there's a big backlash on these videos, because they're saying people are then, it's vigilante stuff, and like, folk are actually beating up the pedos that they're exposing and stuff. Which, hey, let's, well, there lies the fucking conundrum, didn't it? So, guilty by fucking some couple of guys, pedo hunters, going, he's a pedo, right?
Yep.
What if they go to it wrong?
Exactly.
And you're like, I'll just do the job centre. I've got a job.
Your life's ruined.
And your life's fucking ruined. They've put you all over the fucking tinterweb.
Aye, they won't care.
But equally, if these fucking nonces are noncing around, they need to be caught. You know, even somebody who's like,
but then if you
very
are,
very borderline nonsense, I would rather be made aware of them.
But then surely that's a job for the police and not a job, because mate, I listen, I could be completely in the wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. I think, see these people who are going out on nonce missions to catch pedos, I would have massive question marks around
about their character.
Well.
Aye,
100%.
Just to live that, right, well, you got yourself, what propelled them into that career?
See what you're saying there? I am trying to think of the documentary I watched, and it was a child psychologist who'd been employed by the New York State, or the state of New York, or whatever state covers New York, to basically look into this paedophile ring they discovered. And the guy stepped away after 2 weeks, and the police were like trying to indict him and say him, like, you need to help us. You are the foremost expert in this field. You need to help us catch these people. And if you don't, you're effectively just as bad as them. And he just said, I cannot look at these images and this stuff any longer, because it is driving me insane. I will take my own life. He says, I cannot accept that this has gone. And the guy couldn't have been involved anymore. And I'm going, see the fact that these people are, if you're out in the fucking dead of winter, chasing someone down a lane going, right, we're the fucking the pedo squad, put your hands up your wee dick, think how much they are consuming of that world. There must be massive question marks around it. There must be question marks. Questions to be answered.
It's, you know, it's a criminal underbelly that, let me tell you, I don't want to scratch, you know. I mean, equally, right, what about this? It's going to go into the future where, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg, Scott. Maybe these pedo hunters are just going to have a fucking gun. Just go like that. No, that kind of shit. Online. Are they guilty?
Aye.
Cunts just pumping the love hearts and all. Aye. Kill him, Frank. Bang. Aye. There you go.
Mate, you're probably not far off. That would probably, in fact, this is weird, man. This feels as if there's something in a fucking parallel universe going on here. The missus last night was telling me about this woman that I had no idea of. We started watching a programme called Tehran. Long story short, a Mossad agent lands in Iran, gets stuck there, has to fight her way out, right? It's all right. It's
textbook,
no great.
Textbook.
She was telling me about a woman in real life, and I think she was Iranian, and she was basically at the airport and she'd been detained. And she had went on to Instagram Live or Facebook Live or something. She went live on her phone, and she was basically saying on her phone, "I have been detained." And let's just say that she... Oh, I know exactly what the story was. She had basically had sex with somebody out with marriage, right? And in the Muslim country, she was going to be killed. She was going to be stoned to death, or she was going to be hung or whatever, right? The authorities were going to hand her back over to her parents. And if she got handed back to her parents were going to have her killed. That's why she was trying to flee, right?
So she's on
her phone online saying, "They've detained me. I can't stop broadcasting. As soon as they take me away, they're going to kill me. They're going to harm me. My family. My family's going to have me killed. Please." Long story short, somehow the last to get help. She's now living in Canada. She's got a different life.
Canada.
She's safe, right? But like you're saying, mate, how far away are we from people going, "Right, guys, welcome to the fucking pedo hunters. We've caught one tonight. So vote yes or no in the next slide. Swipe up to see the killer. It's only £5 to subscribe. Da-da-da-da-da. Let me know what happens." And everybody's like, "Fucking kill him, he's a pedo."
And you know, in this culture, that's where it's heading, man.
Oh, I think no, listen, how many... There's like how many times people watch videos online, you know, like people getting fucking beheaded or killed, and it's nothing. Do you know what I mean?
There's a small part of me, but that goes, you know, if they're a pedo, and that's fair, you know, it's no terrible, if they're a pedo, they deserve to be killed, right? But you've also got to hold on to reality, which is they deserve a fair trial.
Mm-hmm.
But then the wee bit of me goes, do they really deserve a free trial if it's known in the community that they've podgered fucking kids?
But then But then it's a bit,
once we hit 100 likes, I'm blowing my fucking head right off.
Listen, see when we get 1,000 Patreons, we're going to fucking fill his bum full of cement and we're going to drain him in the Clyde.
The problem is, like,
look at ways and how to top them. Give us your suggestions for next week's episode.
Tune in next week where we try and get Franco McGraw. That's right, the super pedo. We've been tracking him for 3.5 years and we've still no comb. But next week,
guys, like that. Welcome to Pedo Hunters. Next week, I'm going to be asking you lot how we don't dispatch him. That's it. Maybe they know who it is.
Thanks for tuning in to Pedo Wars. We've got Stevie McCann coming up this week. We're out in the... Yeah, welcome to Pedo...
Thanks for tuning in.
I mean, Rob. Welcome. We've got a dossier about this big of pictures, what they've been up to, the Nazis. They have been touching and fingering kids. How do you want them to die? Over to you, Scott. I mean, Alan.
Next week, we'll be live. We're coming live from Car Park in the Sky up the Paisley Breeze. A hotspot for pedos and the pedo gangs of East Renfrewshire. Now, what we're asking you is, how would you kill a pedo? Get in the comment section, let us know, and we'll pick you a favourite one and you can win some Pedo Hunter merch at pedohunters.co.uk/.com.
You tuned in last week and you saw that wee mad midget nonce kick his head 5 times. That got loads of likes and hundreds of shares. Now we're going to try and track him down.
Aye.
And see if day 10 and see the 5 kicks to the head.
If anybody knows any information or any possible nonces out there, get in touch with the Pedo Squad and you can have a chance of winning a Pedo Hunters mug and coaster set.
If you've just got an auntie that's a dodgy babysitter and she's maybe kissed you inappropriately, give her name and her number and we will sort it out too. Over to you, Scott. I mean, Brian.
We just want to make a quick apology. Last week, some of you may have seen on the episode, the boy from Carlisle who we went down overnight and actually broke his legs. Turns out that his boy was just angry because he never got a PS5 and he sent us a picture, so we just want to apologise to his family. He's no actually a pedo. He's just a really good dad trying to teach his son some manners. Back to you, Simon.
Thanks, Scott Allen. Just so you know, my credentials, I'm not just anybody. I've worked in the doors in Paisley for over 10 years now, so I know a pedo. We work together, Scott, to be knowing that, no, hold on, that was somebody else, no you.
Aye.
I know a pedo when I see one, and I've tried to join the police, and all. I helped the police for 2 years, so I'm very well equipped on the eyes of the law, and I know what a pedo is and what a pedo does. So hit like, subscribe, share with your pals, and please donate, and we will kill more pedos to bring them to justice.
Everybody's asking how we're in the position we're in. Well,
I was a lollipop man in Lanarkshire for 12 years, so there's nothing that I don't know about pedos. And I've been uncovering pedos since I was 8 or 10.
You a law pedo?
No, I'm a pedo hunter. I'm a pedo hunter, I'm hunting them.
What? I'm not kicking my head, I've got a job. What are you talking about? Kick my head? I'm scared here. Listen, just get the cameras out of my face. I put a camera down for you a minute, mate. Put a camera down. Don't ask anybody what I do. I'll lose my job.
Just when I thought this was going to be a sensible episode, talking about narcos. Oh, God, that's hurt my shoulders, man.
It's hard work, man. Being
it's
a pedo hunter.
It's hard work being a pedo hunter.
Okay, anything you want to talk about? Do we get any questions?
We've got loads of questions.
This was a wee secret episode, wasn't it? A wee kind of, well, before our time. But, you know.
We've got a lot of questions here. I'm conscious of the time as well, Malaka.
Well, how did it work out? You know, because we're going to the hero, you know, for anybody who doesn't know, you know, you get your council episode. And then if you're a patron, you get that wee bitty extra, another half hour show at the end of this if you're a hero. Is that what I meant there, Scott? Am I right there? Can you back
well,
me up?
Well, yeah, on the obviously every the easiest way to do it, all the even numbers are council episodes and the odd numbers are hero episodes.
Because heroes are odd.
Heroes are an odd bunch, but I love them. The reason why we keep the council ones to an hour now is just because we want to promote the shows a bit more, so they're going on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and whatnot, but we're limited to the time that we can put them up, so it's an hour. So on the occasions when these episodes do run over, then we will we'll add the extra onto the Patreon for the heroes. So again, as well as getting access to all of the content in every single episode, then you will get the extra from the council episodes as well. So become a hero. Patreon.com, patreon.com/the#show.
All that one was like hip hop video there.
You can sign up. There was.
Dollar bill, yo. I'll get 40 quid.
I don't know the last time I had physical cash in my hand.
I only get this because my boy asked me to put it in his bank account.
What's he been doing to earn 40 quid? £40 cash?
Listen.
He's been out of the car park in the sky.
I'm not a pedo, but again, working up the car park in the sky.
Have we got time? Right, we got time for one question, right? And then we'll pick the other questions up on the Patreon.
Ask for questions.
Jim McMillan has asked a bit of advice here from Malaka Lee.
Mal, of course, Jim.
What's your advice on getting into music production on a budget? Software, laptop, or sampling machines, etc.?
Thanks for the question, Jim. Great question.
Two things that you love. Music production and on a budget.
Yeah, you've asked the right guy for that.
It's money Malaka Lee here. This could be like the new, who's that guy that does the money?
Martin Lewis. The money expert.
The Scottish Jewish man. Money expert. I don't trust him.
No, he's a bit too, he sounds like he's on coke, doesn't he?
He's become too much of a TV guy.
What you want to do? Yeah.
Mate, I remember tuning into one of his episodes where he went, tune in tonight when we're going to talk about credit card debt and the easiest way to manage it. And that's when I was in a fair bit of credit card debt. And I thought, this will be good. I'll listen to the man. And do you know what he said? Do you know what he said?
You should handle it, you fucker.
Do you know what he said, how you handle your credit card debt?
What?
And I'm not making this up. Try and transfer to a 0% interest credit card.
Every couple of credit cards tried that one, didn't
they? Exactly. And I'm not making this up, you can go back and watch it. This is how the money expert tells you how to handle your credit card debt. Put your credit card in a glass of water and put that glass in your freezer and then freeze your credit card.
Oh, well, that sorts you out, Martin.
So there's no way you can use it. What an idiot. Anyway, carry on. Mal,
I'll be honest, he's done a few things like, you know, like insurance, home insurance, car insurance, you know, that have followed, you know, those tips and saved a good pretty £5-10 or whatever. Yeah.
Yes,
so, but this is Mal's money tips on music production.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, Jim, you know, it's not a short journey. Like learning anything.
You get out what you put in. You get out what you put in.
And there's a learning curve and you get back what you put in. So there isn't any quick thing you can just buy and instantly write music. But what I would suggest is you get a good PC or a Mac. PC's cheaper. So if you've got a good computer in the house, go to Ableton. Which is a DAW, a music writing program. Download that and you get a month's free trial. trial, no trial.
Trial, yeah, trial and a trial.
And YouTube is a great help for how do I do that? There's plenty of YouTube tutorials. You'll get your 1 month free with YouTube, with Ableton, and that is a brilliant program for quickly learning to produce your own music. But you're going to have to spend time on it. But at least that month's free gives you the opportunity to go, can I be arsed with this?
Yep.
And then you can make a purchase and buy it, or get somebody to get you a hooky copy or whatever. But Ableton and YouTube for tutorials. Or if you just want to bash out Acid House, you can get one of these, which is a clone of the Roland TB-303. This is a Behringer TD-3. And then you can get a wee drum machine, which is a TD-6. And that'll cost you, for the two of them, less than 500 quid, probably more now with taxes. And you can just jam away Acid House to your heart's content. A kind of level of fun slash I might make some Acid House records like I did with this album. Yeah. But, you know, there's no quick answer. There's no quick reply. There's no quick tune making thing. You need to put the work in. Like, there is no quick way to learn a guitar. You need to put the time in to learn that guitar. It's the same with dance music production, I'm afraid. So, you know, all the best now. Take care.
Jim, good luck. And as that answer is through Jim McMillan, who's on the Patreon, is a hero, then
what a hero.
We'll stick those things in the comments as well, Jim.
No, we won't, because you say that all the time and we never date. That's one of my pet hates. Was a great video. Post that on the page.
In the comments on Patreon, you will. You can go in and answer these questions on Patreon. Get in there and answer these questions on Patreon. Right.
Answer loads of questions on Patreon, man. I'm in a boutique. No, look, you. You're just too busy and fucking mixing with the superstars and all that. Fucking Bill Brady or whoever Canadian comedies you like. Whatever his name is.
Bill Brady?
I don't know. Fucking, who's that guy? Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
What are you talking about?
The guy who was in fucking Mandalorian.
Mandalorian? Oh, Bill Burr?
Ah, you're too busy hanging about with him.
I wish I knew Bill Burr.
I don't want to be an actor. Are you fucking Dayball?
He does.
I don't give a fuck. Are you Dayball?
One of the greatest comics. He's brilliant.
I'll tell you who's the greatest comic that has ever walked the planet.
Uh-huh.
The fucking Dave fucking Chappelle.
Wrong. It's Richard Pryor. Bill. You're wrong. It's Richard Pryor.
Well, Richard Pryor, you always get the underground that helped make the path for the next generation just to fucking steamroll right through there. Eddie Murphy did it. And then obviously on his highway, Dave Chappelle's done. But then that's just been black and white. I'm not being black and white. I'm just saying the greatest comedian in the history of the world is Billy Connolly. Because he's a white guy. But if I want to pick a black guy, it'd be Dave Chappelle. I don't know any funny chinkies, and I don't know any funny Pakistanis.
Bobby,
I'm not a racist comedian lover.
We're going to keep this conversation going on the Patreon for the heroes, so sign up to that, patreon.com/#show, if you want to hear the extended version of this episode and all the other episodes. Thank you everyone for listening for 110. We will see you in a fortnight for 112, or next week on 111. Thanks for listening. Become a hero. All the best. Have a good week.
We're one away from our hero target, so if even one of you council guys can consider to join the family, me and Scott would have achieved our goal that we'd hoped to achieve in December.
Anyway, that's it. The time's running down. Goodbye.